Well done, Aaron, who's currently hiding in the lobby and probably will not come in here. One thing I will say to his credit is we gave him virtually no direction. Like all the funny stuff he did, he just thought of it and just did it. And it was very natural and fun. So thanks for laughing along with us on that. We are in preseason. We are getting ready for the ministry year coming up starting in September. Because we are getting ready for this year of ministry coming up in the church, we need to take a Sunday and talk about volunteering in the church. So each of you in your seats have one of these. Hopefully, if it's still in your seat, it means you're sitting on it. So you saw this and interacted with it in some way. We will come back to that at the end of the sermon. But as I was thinking about Volunteer Sunday, I thought that maybe the most practical thing to do would be just to give you three what I believe to be compelling reasons to serve in your local church. Now, two things about the phrasing there. Number one, I said three hopefully compelling reasons, not the top three reasons. I'm sure you could come up with your own reasons that would beat these out, but these are my top three reasons this week. And I also said three reasons you should volunteer in your local church. I did not say grace. I try to be wildly allergic to self-serving. So I am not here this morning trying to convince you to serve at Grace because we need your help at Grace, and if you don't, yada, yada, yada. I'm just telling you why I think as a pastor, based on Scripture, you should serve in your local church. If the local church you are currently involved in is not compelling enough to warrant your service, then maybe you should find one that does compel you. So if you don't feel like serving here, then we're probably doing something wrong. So I'm not trying to get you to do it at Grace, but I do want you to serve in your local church. To that end, I have three reasons. The first reason is also something I don't do very often at all. I almost wore my Crocs, my friendship shoes, to share with you guys this point number one, but I'm going to be preaching in them in September, and I thought we don't need to overdo it here with the Crocs. For this one, a couple caveats before I hit you with it. First of all, yes, it is a guilt trip, okay? It just is. So we'll just prepare for that together. I don't mean it to be, but that's just the nature of it. But it does have the added benefit of, I believe, being true. I will, because it is a guilt trip, I'm just going to let it be. You guys are adults. You can process it like you want to. I'm not going to soften it up while I'm talking about it. But then at the end, I'll come back and I'll give a couple caveats just so you know I'm not a heartless jerk. But number one, why should you serve in your local church? Number one, it's honorable. I believe it is the honorable thing to do. It's what you ought to do. A couple reasons why. 2 Thessalonians 3:10, we see this verse written by Paul, and I'll tell you why he wrote it here in a second. But he said, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat." Now, this may be a familiar verse to some of you. It's generally taken wildly out of context. But here's what's going on in the church in Thessalonica when Paul writes that. They were pulling their resources together. And so the church became this very small form of what we would think of as welfare. They took care of each other. Those that had a lot brought it. Those that had a little brought it. And then they ate and they fed their kids and they held everything in common because they wanted to take care of everybody who was in the church. And when word got out that they were feeding people, of course, the community came. But the problem is there were some families coming whose husbands, fathers were not working. They were just showing up for the food and then going back home and didn't display any willingness to try to work or get a job and earn their own food. And so Paul was saying if they're not willing to chip in and do their part, then they can't keep leeching off of those who are trying. This can't go on forever. And that's the ethos behind that verse is even biblically, we should do what we can to earn our keep. I don't think any of you is happy with being the person who's having a meal at someone's house, or there's an event at a park or a school or wherever, and then the cleanup process starts. And people are walking by you with chairs, or they're walking by you with dishes, or they're walking by you with trash, or whatever it might be. I hope you're not the kind of person that just watches them work and says, good for them. God loves them. They're earning crowns. Do you need any crowns in heaven? No, I'm squared away. I'm not sweaty. Don't want to be. I'm going to get my car, go home. We don't want to be the kind of person that doesn't chip in when everyone else around us is chipping in. That's kind of a human nature thing. It's the honorable right thing to do. And if you're the kind of person who just stands around while everyone around you works, and I'm pressing on you a little bit, I guess I'm sorry for that, but maybe don't be that kind of person. Maybe be a helpful person. And so in the context of church, we have people who greet at the doors every week, who are the ushers, and then they help people find seats, and then when there's not enough seats, they put them out. We have people who love on our children every week so that mamas and daddies can come in here and have an hour's peace. We have people who rehearse and then give of themselves and of their talent on Sundays, and in the front and in the back. We have people who do the coffee. We have people who greet you at the door. We have people who jump in everywhere. And because of that, what we know is that this church doesn't work without a whole team of volunteers week in and week out. We have people that volunteer during the week, not just on Sunday. We have people who volunteer on Sunday night. And so if we don't have volunteers to make the organization go, to make the church go, then it ceases to go. And so right now, what I would say as a pastor is if grace is your home, and that's an important distinction, because if you're a guest in someone's home and they start cleaning up the dishes, you can be extra nice and clean up with them, but you don't have to. You're a guest. And if you're here this morning and you're a guest, and the way to know is if you're a guest or not is, do you feel like you are one, or do you feel like you're home? If you feel like you're a guest, you're a guest. If you feel like you're at home, then you're at home. You're one of us. That's up to you. If you're a guest, don't worry about this. But if you're home, then we need your help. So what I would say gently is, if grace is your home and you're coming week after week and you have the time and the space, but you've not yet found a place to ply your hand, it's the honorable thing to do to find a way to get plugged in. And I know that that's a blatant guilt trip, but it is nevertheless true, is it not? Now, here are the caveats to soften this up. I said last week, if you're hurting and you need a place to rest, grace wants to be that place. Do not volunteer here. Just rest until God restores your soul. And we're so grateful that grace gets to be a part of that. And then besides that, there's all other sorts of mitigating factors that go on in life. You could be a new mom or a new parent. You could have a crazy schedule. You can have an aging parent that's causing you to have to travel back and forth between states so regularly that by the time you get to Sunday morning, you have nothing else left. I understand that. You could be experiencing some medical struggles yourself and really just have no time or space to give. I understand that. There's caveats to everything. So I'll leave it to you to decide whether or not how I open that one is something that is convicting and applicable, or if it doesn't need to be right now. But if you're asking me why should I volunteer in the local church, the first thing I would say is, well, it is unavoidably honorable. It's the right thing to do. That was the only guilt trip. Here's two more that are better ones that will not make us feel like terrible humans, okay? Number two, the joy of specialization. The joy of specialization. Now, here's how I get to this one, and this one's weird, and you guys can make fun of me for it. You know that I like history, and so I sometimes think about it through that lens, and one of the things that fascinates me, and this is where two people in the room are going to be like, that fascinates me too, and the rest of you would be like, please hurry. I will hurry. is the transition from hunter-gatherers as a species to city dwellers. And so the way that that happened is when everybody was put on the earth, when everybody lived way back in the day, however many thousand years ago your theology and science says it was, we, thank you for some laughter there, some people know. We were hunter-gatherers, meaning primarily the men went out to hunt, women gathered and foraged in the forest, they prepared the meals, they cared for the babies, and then that's how they sustained themselves. And these hunter-gatherer communities could never crest more than 125, 150 people. That was like the maximum amount that could be sustained by that. Then these hunter-gatherers started figuring out, this is really hard. What if we put some of these seeds that we're foraging in the ground? The women are the ones who figured this out. And then when they came back by the next year, it's like, look, there's a plant. And then they got the men to try it, and if it was poisonous, they're like, don't do that again. And then they'd come around again, and maybe this one's okay. And then they'd find the plants that worked and would produce a yield. And so then they started started planting crops. We became agrarian. And then with the crops became the need to protect them. Now we have, for the first time in human history, excess. We have more than what we need, like, for the next day or two. And other tribes are going to find out about that. They're going to want to take it. So we start to build protection. Then we start to build walls so that we can protect our crops. Then we have to, like, you can't go hunt and gather. You have to stay here and guard. So now we start to see the seeds of specialization within a community. And then before you know it, there's a temple. And then before you know it, there's a governing building. And then before you know it, there's this and there's that and there's the other thing. And boom, now we have cities. And when we have cities, and everybody doesn't have to hunt or gather every day, we start to get this amazing gift of specialization. And when we have cities is when, as humans, we start to produce beautiful, meaningful things. This is how we get Michelangelo. This is how we get the sculpture of David in the Sistine Chapel. This is how we invented longer range boats in the age of exploration. This is how science and math and the people of Northern Africa invented algebra. This is how this happens, is we have specialization. So suddenly people who are born with certain gifts don't have to squander those gifts hunting and gathering. They can now apply them for exactly what they're supposed to be used for, for the way God created them to be. This is the gift of cities, as we have specialization. And I sometimes think about how many Michelangelos were born into the Republic of Congo 15,000 years ago and was one of the world's greatest artists that's ever lived. It was all in there. But he had to spend his day trying to shoot a monkey out of a tree. The church provides us with a city of God that allows us to specialize. There's a lot to do in the Bible. We need to disciple others. We need to share our faith. We need to allow God to sanctify us. We need to preach and teach the word. We need to support other people. There's a lot of things to do. There's a lot of things to do to reach a soul, to care for a soul, to disciple a soul, to train them to reach other souls, to help them build God's kingdom. Building God's kingdom takes a lot of work and a lot of people. And if it's all on us to just hunt and gather, and those are the only skill sets that matter, it's going to be a really slow grind. But once we all gather together in a church, now we can experience the joy of specialization, where not everybody has to do everything. And here's where this becomes really beautiful. My good buddy, he's one of our elders, Jim Adams, is the teacher, along with Burt Banks, who I like slightly less than Jim Adams, of Bethel. It's a two-year study, and it's a class I teach. Burt, what night of the week does it meet? I didn't hear you, I'm sorry. Wednesday. Wednesday night here at the church, they're entering into their second year. It's a great thing, study through the Bible, wonderful. They got certified for it, they study up. Because I'm in regular contact with Jim, I know that he loves doing it. He studies throughout the week. That study brings him life. He loves to do that. He really feels privileged that he gets to do the class. He loves teaching the class. He loves seeing people come alive in the class. It's giving, it's breathing a lot of spiritual life into him while he serves the church very well and does his part to build God's kingdom. Now, if I told him he had to do everything, and that included, you have to sit in there and hold babies for an hour once a month, Jim would say, can I please just teach three classes? I do not want to do that. That brings me no joy. I'm not wired to do that. I don't want to do that. Similarly, Miss JoJo in the lovely bright dress over here does love sitting over there and holding our babies. It brings her life and joy, and it's wonderful. But if I went to her and asked her, when this round of Bethel is done, I need you to pick up the torch and prepare and teach, you would find a new church, I think, before actually doing that. That would bring her no joy, only stress. Jen, my wife, likes to volunteer with the fourth and fifth graders. That brings her joy and life. She does not want to be on this stage. I would rather be on this stage than be back there with two of them. So within the church, we have been given the gift of specialization, and Corinthians actually tells us how it's supposed to work. We have in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 18 through 20, these words. But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. This whole chapter talks about the idea of the body of Christ. And we understand how a body works. Every body has a different part to play. I don't need to talk about that for you guys to be able to piece that together. The foot does a thing, the hand does a thing, the mouth does a thing, the brain does a thing. And we like to think about which of those things are we assigned in the church. I don't know. But I do know that we have the gift of being a part of the body. We are not assigned to all of the things. But we are assigned something. We do have a part to play here. I saw a pastor do this, and I wouldn't do it here because it's a little bit presumptuous and offensive. But if I were going to do it here, it would look like this. Where the volunteer sheets were, when you got here, we're in the middle of your seat. And if I were to ask you to lean to the side and feel your seat to see if it's still there, what you would find is it's not there, but a warm spot is. And then I would tell you, you're here for more than to create that. Do you get it? The warm spot in your seat. So we ought to, and we should, but when we do, there it is. Zach's with us now, everyone. But when we do, here's the thing, we should do something that God's created us to do, because I believe when we do, it will bring us joy. I believe that there's very little in life that brings greater joy than when we are using the gift God gives us in exactly the way that he intended. This is why a good vocalist and worship will almost always bring me to tears. Because what a clear picture of someone using a gift that was given to them by God. He chose it. He chose to make that person a songbird. And then he gets to hear that voice sing praises back to him as they usher his other children into praise to him. Such a beautiful thing. When someone who is so gifted with the patience and the grace and the imagination and the love and the gentleness that it takes to enjoy being with kids and being in relationship with them gets to use that to move them closer to Jesus and help them trust church. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. And now here's the thing that I would say, and I'm going to come back to this here at the end, when we think about volunteering in the church and how to get involved. There's probably many of you who do want to be involved, but you look at the list, and I'm going to go through the list in a little bit, and you're like, I don't want to do any of this. This is, none of this is my joy. Believe it or not, tech team doesn't make me feel at one with the Holy Spirit. Nate, this might be hard to believe, but on the Sunday mornings when I greet at the front door, I feel a lot more sweaty than spiritual when I get back in the car. I get it. These can be underwhelming, and I'm not trying to imbue each one of them with eternal import, but I believe that they can all have it. And here's the other thing I would say. At the end of the service, you're going to be invited to fill this out and put that in the basket when it comes by during the last song. One of the things I want to encourage you to do as we think about this opportunity to specialize. And we've talked recently, we have committees, we have finance committee, personnel committee, missions committee, nominating committee. We have ways that you can maybe not volunteer on a Sunday or during the week, but you can sit on a committee and help give us oversight in certain ways. There's a bunch of other ways to be involved. One thing that's not on the list is for years, Mr. Ron Torrance would come every week and vacuum the church and clean the offices and vacuum back there and take out the trash and just do general housekeeping. And he has earned the right to retire and done that. But right now, what happens is we're in there with a bunch of there's four full timers and three of us are boys and we don't clean very well. And so Miss Erin every Thursday reminds us that she's a better human than us and takes out our trash and we hand it to her in shame. So it'd be great if someone could volunteer and who's maybe retired and has time to come in and do that once a week or pair with somebody else. But all that to say, there's other opportunities and there's other ways to serve. So I'm going to encourage you at the end when you fill this out, if you do want to get involved and you do want to serve but you just don't know how, I would love it if you would just write your name and address on here and just leave it blank or just check the I'm not sure yet. And I promise you, I will personally follow up with everyone who does that, because I believe that when someone raises their hand and says, I want to get involved, that that's a big deal. And it's time for a really substantive conversation about how can God use you in this place in a way that's going to bring you joy and serve the church well. So I don't want to minimize that instinct and that impulse that you have to help by reducing it to one of the categories that's here. So if you fill out, I want to do it, I just don't know what yet, that's going to get to me, and I promise you I'll reach out to you, and we'll have a good talk, we'll have a good conversation about it. Third reason that I believe people should serve in their local church is that you may not understand it, but you are sowing the seeds of eternity. Whenever I think about this principle, there is a song that I think about. And I am going to not, I know you want me to say the word sing right now. I'm not going to say that word. I'm going to play that song for you. Now, here's what to understand. When I do, I grew up in the South in the 80s and 90s. And there was a thing called contemporary Christian music. And Ray Bolts was one of the kings, him and Steve Green, right next to each other on Mount Rushmore with the Gaither Vocal Band. And I love this song. But if you've never heard this song before, and when I say I love this song, listen, I don't mean it's on a playlist and I listen to it all the time. I'm just saying I like to hear it. If you've never heard it before, when it starts playing, you're going to think to yourself, what in the world is this? And you're going to start giggling and snickering and probably thinking less of me. And then you're going to think to yourself, are we seriously listening to this? Yeah, you bet we are. You bet we are. I'm only going to give you the first verse and then the chorus, but here's what I want you to know as you're laughing at this song and you think it's silly. First, please pay attention to the lyrics. Second, just know that as you're laughing at it, there is a subset of your brothers and sisters in Christ in this room for whom it is the only thing they can do to not stand up and belt this out as it goes. Am I right? Yes, I am right. All right, let's play it for them, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. You can already tell it's going to be good. Thank you.
Dreamed I went to heaven, and you were there with me. We walked upon the streets of gold, beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels sing.
Raise your hand if you've heard this before.
And someone called your name. You turned and saw this young man, and he was smiling as he came. And he said, friend, you may not know me now. And then he said, but wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. And every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. And one day when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus in my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I have a life that was changed. I am so glad you gave.
I don't think I've ever felt such a dichotomy of pride and shame at the same time that I feel right now, having done that in a service. All right, the lyrics are problematic. As I listened back to it, I was like, what a self-aggrandizing song. You're really proud of yourself. Because the third verse is like, the line went on as far as the eye could see of people thanking me for giving to the Lord. I mean, well, that's ambitious, but maybe. I don't know. But I always think of that song because of the reality that it does share, which is we have no idea what little small seeds of eternity we are sowing as we interact with people, really in an everyday basis, but in particular in a volunteer basis. I've told this story before, but I think it bears repeating, and many of you may have forgotten. But when I was 7 or 8 years old, I was 7 years old, I was newer to a church, and it was my very first summer camp, and we drove from Atlanta down to Florida, because in the late 80s, you'd put kids on a bus in Atlanta, and you bus them 12 hours away from their parents for a week when they were 7 years old, and then you bus them back, and they were fine. But we go down there, and it's the first time in the cafeteria, and it's breakfast, and we get French toast, and I just remember feeling anxious. I didn't have anyone to sit with yet. I didn't know where my buddies were, and I didn't have very many buddies, and so I was just kind of feeling a little bit alone, and I sat alone, and one of the volunteers, this lady named Jody, saw me sitting by myself, and so she came and she sat across from me and she started talking to me. And I remember feeling this great relief of, now there's someone who cares sitting to me and talking to me. And at 7 years old, I don't have the capacity to think that she's doing this to be nice, dum-dum. You shouldn't feel that great about it. I thought, oh, she finds me personally interesting and wants to find more about what is underneath this 7-year-old wunderkind. And so we start to eat, and I reach for my milk, and as I reach for my milk, I knock it over, and I knock it into her tray, and it spills all over her French toast. And I'm embarrassed, and I feel terrible, and I'm apologizing profusely, and she sets the milk back up, and she assures me. She says, no, actually, I'll tell you a secret. I like milk on my French toast. And I'm like, you do? That's weird, Miss Jody. She's like, I do, actually, but I'm a little bit embarrassed to eat it, and I don't get the chance to do it, so you just gave me that chance. Thank you so much. And that woman sat across from me and ate soggy French toast for the duration of the breakfast so that this new kid in her church wouldn't feel embarrassed and would feel like there was somebody who cared about him. And I was like 27 years old when I pieced that one together. But now I'm 45, And that was nearly 40 years ago. And that's this small event, I promise you, Miss Jody has long forgotten. That 40 years later, I still see as the picture of grace and consideration and kindness and what the love of Jesus looks like in real time. She's the picture of that for me because of that one kind act. So we don't know. We don't know what seeds we are planting as we simply serve God and His church. We don't know who we're going to interact with at the door. We don't know who we're going to say hello to that just needs a hello. We don't know whose name we're going to remember, and then when they come back a second time, we say, oh, hey, Joe, it was good to meet you last week. How was this week? We don't know how much that's going to mean to them. That may be the thing that gets them to come to church long enough for the Holy Spirit to do work. We don't know how much it means to somebody when we go, hey, are you okay? We don't know which conversation with these kids in this hallway is going to be the one that impacts them in this indelible way that we could never anticipate. We don't know. But what we do know is God is planting, He is sowing seeds of eternity with our actions and with what we do and with how we love. That's another reason we should volunteer in the local church. So here's what we're going to do. In a minute, I'm going to pray and the band is going to come up. And they're going to go through the final song. As they're going through the final song, we want to invite you to just stay seated and look this over and pray through it and fill it out. Again, if you're already volunteering in a bunch of places, this is not for you. If you're here and you're resting and you're in heal mode, this is not for you. But if you feel like it's time to get involved or you want to get involved in a greater way, this is. So take a minute. I'm going to pray. Fill this out. When the song is done, we'll bring the ushers forward. We'll send the baskets through, and we'll collect these. And if you want to serve but you don't know how, I will follow up with you this week. All right, let me pray, and then we'll continue on with the service. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for the church. Thank you for this body of believers, God, that comes together, that loves each other, that cares about one another, and that cares about pointing people towards you. Thank you, God, that this place is a place where we can have fun and we can laugh and we can enjoy that sense of joy that you've given us. But God, I pray that we would also have the wherewithal to take things seriously when you take them seriously. And so, God, I pray that we would take seriously the opportunity to serve in your church and to help build your kingdom, whether it's in these walls or outside of them. God, I pray that for those of us who want to serve but we don't know how, we get to specialize but we don't know what our specialization is. God, I just pray that you would make that evident, that you would give us the courage to have conversations, that you would give us the courage and conviction to just begin to do work and start to learn where you might have us focus. But God, I just pray for this year. I pray for what's upcoming at Grace, that you would put all the right people in all the right places, and that we would all be better off for it as we serve you. In Jesus' name.